Our next speaker this afternoon is James R. Powell. He's the owner of Gramophone Adventures, a small publishing and audio restoration concern. Many of you probably know his books, the most recent of which are broadcast transcription discs and playback equalization settings for 78 RPM recordings, which won an ARSC award for excellent, and it's now in its second edition. He has a background in biology and information sciences with PhD and MS. He's a member of the Audio Engineering Society, and he has longtime interests in music, both as a performer and as a listener of recordings, modern and vintage. He has extensive background in audio projects, recording, performing, audio restoration from cylinder, disc, magnetic wire, and magnetic tape media. So please, with no further ado, let's welcome Jim to the podium for his lecture demonstration on early discs. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll make a little technical shift here, and we'll begin.
Just click to exit.
Yes. We'll have a brief test tone. I appreciate the opportunity to make this presentation this afternoon, and you're in for a lot of fun. Each of these slides.
This is Jim Powell. During the first 50 years of radio broadcasting, there was great technological change in programming, method of radio transmission, and in sound recording. When a program was recorded, a comparison was made with the live show. Sometimes the results were good, sometimes not so good. Join me as we go back in time to understand how things were in radio. We'll start out in 1924 with WHK Cleveland, Ohio. A photo of the Lewis Rich Orchestra shows a typical studio of the period, basically a tented room with dry acoustics. We see the performers with instruments sitting in front of a carbon microphone. From right to left, a harmonium, a violin, trumpet, Lewis Rich standing with violin, a piano, cello, marimba, and to the far left, a pipe organ console. WHK is around today, 80 years later, under different ownership and programming. Since we can't do a strict comparison of a recorded versus live event, let's do the next best thing by listening to some recordings involved with radio, sampled over a 42-year period. You, the audience, will be the golden-eared people in the mixing booth to judge which recordings sound live. 1927, Victor 10-inch, 78 RPM, Lindbergh's Return.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, this is Graham Ackerman speaking from the Navy Yard, Washington, D.C. Lindbergh is coming down the gangplank, walking slowly, his hat in his hand, quietly, dignified, a darn nice boy.
You can hear the auto horns of that day.
She is on the arm of the Secretary of War. And again, we get the salute. Secretary Davis.
Carbon microphones.
Where's the mother of Lindbergh?
Thank you.
1928 Columbia 10-inch 78 RPM Clico Club Eskimos.
Why wait? Be nice. I thought you would. That's great. Don't wait. Be sweet. Gee, I knew you could.
That can come up. Condenser microphone to the left.
Come on and put your arms around me. Oh, baby, come on. By looking in your eyes, I surmise this is my chance. I can see this'll be a heavy romance. Come on, because I can't resist you. I won't be happy till I've kissed you. Come on, because I can't resist you.
Milton has two of them.
Oh, baby, come on. When I'm beside you, my heart is gone. Come on and let your conscience guide you. Oh, baby, come on.
Hardly flat. ...1929 Perfect Circle Radio Program, 12-inch, 78 RPM.
Company, 9 Foxburghs of Perfect Circle Piston Rings, to present Charlie Davis and his famous Indiana Public Stage Orchestra. These programs of the best in popular music are especially arranged for your entertainment by Mr. Davis and the Perfect Circle Company. The orchestra greets you tonight with Mean to Me.
Observe the resonant section of the curve there, also on there. ...1930 Marsh Labs, 12-inch, 78 RPM, Eskimo Pie Time with East and Dumkey.
And now we have a real surprise for you. The Eskimo Pie Orchestra have imported from the frozen north Iceland's gift to radio, a harmony team of blonde Eskimos known as the Singing Icicles, who have selected for their first number one of their own native folk songs.
There's a certain little girl and a little boy. Whenever they're together, their hearts are filled with joy. You will hear them cooing in a different way. To you it may sound silly, but this is what they'll say. Ill-way, ooh-yay, give me a little kiss-k. I'll give a little kiss-k to ooh-yay. Ill-way, ooh-yay, give me a little kiss-k. a little pug, hey, I'll give a little pug, hey, to yay. I'm so wild about you, I feel just like a moon lay. I'll put that ring upon your finger some sweet day in Moonjay. Ill way, ooh yay, give me a little isk, I'll give a little isk to yay.
Inglejay, Elsway, Inglejay, Elsway, Inglejay, all the A-way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open A-sleigh. 1931, Judson, 16-inch, 33 1/3 RPM, Philco Symphony Orchestra.
Here is a picture of Rome in carnival time, as it appeared to Hector Berlioz, one of the great masters of orchestration. This vivid descriptive overture provides a rigorous test for any radio. It will tell you whether the units in your set are perfectly balanced and whether any of the tubes need to be replaced. Radio authorities recommend Philco Super Tubes for balanced performance. Now, if your set is equipped with them, you'll find a new dimension in music, especially in such compositions as the one now to be played by the Philco Symphony Orchestra. The overture, A Roman Carnival, by Hector Berlioz.
Note the complementarity of those two curves. 1933, World Western Electric Wide Range, 16-inch, 33 1/3 RPM, vertical cut demo. Benny Goodman, clarinetist in Shine on Your Shoes. Fairly wide frequency response there. Remember the shadow from an old radio like that? Thank you. 1935 World Western Electric Wide Range, 16-inch, 33 1/3 RPM lateral cut, Studebaker Champions.
Studebaker Champions. America's greatest orchestras, and one of the biggest news stories of the year, comes to you by electrical transcription. Richard Himber and his Studebaker Champions in New York's smartest dance music.
150 grams pressure was the limit.
Stand by, America. The automobile you ordered is here. Every year, one great new car flashes to the front. And this year, that car is the new 1936 Studebaker. It's priced $200 lower than you expect, just a trifle more than the lowest priced cars. But before we tell you all about this great new Studebaker, let's listen a while to Richard Himber and his Studebaker Champions.
The radio broadcasters are finally getting onto the idea of compensating their records properly. $19.35 Victor Wide Range 10-inch 70 RPM Z-Disc. Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops playing Carioca. This record is definitely a wide range mystery. How would you like that in your living room? $19.37 World Western Electric Wide Range, 16-inch, 33 1/3 RPM, lateral negative feedback cut. Chevrolet Musical Moments with Casper Ruden harpist playing Washboard Blues. Thank you. 1937, World Western Electric wide range, 16-inch, 33 and a third RPM, lateral negative feedback cut, Chevrolet Musical Moments with Josephine Antoine, coloratura soprano.
A lovely melody sung delightfully by our beautiful Metropolitan Opera soprano. A Heart That's Free, sung by Josephine Antoine. Josephine, for that exquisite song.
1940 JV, 10-inch, 70 RPM, instantaneous recording, Glenn Miller Orchestra, Beat Me Daddy, 8 to the Bar, vocal Jack Lathrop.
When he plays, it's a ball. He is the daddy of them all. The people gather round when he gets on the stand. Then when he plays, he gets a hand. The rhythm he speaks puts the cats in a trance. Nobody there bothers to dance. And when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, oh, beat me daddy, hey to the bar. A plink. Plunking on the keys, a riff. Well, they're ripping out with ease. And when he jams with the bass and guitar, they holler, oh, come on and beat me daddy, hey, to the bar. Thank you.
1943 NBC Thesaurus orthoacoustic, 16-inch, 33 1/3. Richard Leibert playing "You Are Too Beautiful."
46.
Yeah, that's what the D6 means. Thank you. WLW 12-inch 70 RPM instantaneous recording. Milton Chase interviews Lieutenant Michael Cunningham in Guam during World War II.
I have asked Lieutenant Mike Cunningham to tell us something about those patches. Mike, when did the city of Cincinnati receive most of those cars?
Well, that was the night of the big raid on Kawasaki, just south of Tokyo. Our mission was to bomb Kawasaki. We were told to expect plenty of opposition. Well, as we approached our target, Japanese searchlight picked us up. We had quite a shock, for that light was really blinding. But then they helped us find our target. Well, then the lights went out. We started on our bomb run. Suddenly, the searchlights caught us again. This time, they helped us.
Did they force you to scatter for safety?
Oh, no. We were too close to the target to turn away. We could see fires below us started by other B-29s. In fact, the searchlights and the fires lit up the target beautifully. Our bombardier called for a visual round because he could see that target clearly. We dropped our bombs right on the target. We were terribly tense and excited.
Why was that, Mike?
One of the reasons was that the searchlights were still turned on us. Then the Japs were throwing up everything they had at us. There were flak bursts all around us. As you well know, there are probably more anti-aircraft guns around Tokyo than anywhere else in Japan. Well, that night it seemed as if every Jap gun had opened up on us.
What about Jap fighters, Mike? Did you see any?
Well, I was coming to that, Mr. Chase. The radio operator reported that a twin-engine Jap plane was coming at our belly with his guns blazing. We took several hits from that plane.
What about flak? Did you get any hits from flak?
Did we? I'll say we did. We had more than 50 holes in the city of Cincinnati in flak. We counted that many when we returned, and it took 500 man-hours to patch up that
1946 WGN orthoacoustic 16-inch 33 1/3 RPM master recording of Captain Midnight.
Millions of them, in fact, are dreaming about that new home they're going to build within the next year or so. Well, boys and girls, that dream might and could very easily go up in smoke. Now, it's mighty important. Yes, fellas and girls, let's all do our part in stopping these needless forest fires. If we do, we'll all get our new homes quicker. And now, on with the action-packed adventure, Manhunt, with Captain Midnight and the Secret Squadron in Mexico. Scarcely have Captain Midnight and Chuck and Joyce begun their search for the hidden entranceway to the amazing city in the sky when they were interrupted by two of Whisper's guards. The Secret Squadron agents dodged into a niche in the rock wall, and when the guards passed, Captain Midnight and Chuck leaped out and overpowered them. Immediately after they dragged them into the cave-like aperture, they heard overhead the sound of footsteps, and they realized that Ivan Shark had again sent out a searching party to find and kill them. Acting on a sudden impulse, Captain Midnight wrapped himself in a long Mexican shawl, which one of the guards had been wearing, and announced that he was going to slip out of the niche and join the searching party. Now the gang of cutthroats and desperados is marching past the opening, and Chuck and Joyce watch anxiously as...
There he goes, Chuck. You can see his silhouette by the light of your torches.
Yeah, he's walking right out onto the desert. But they're only a few yards away from him.
Oh, jeepers, Chuck. If they see him as plainly as we do, he's sunk.
They won't, though, Joyce. He's coming up behind them, and they're not even turning around.
Look, he's caught up with them. He's mingling with them now. Jeepers, I can't even tell which one's Captain Midnight.
He made it. Loop and loops, talk about nerve, Joyce. Imagine joining right in with a gang that's looking for you and pretending to be one of them.
That's awful risky.
Sure. It's a chance, all right, but it's worth it. He'll stick right with them, and then when they give up looking for him and go back through the passageway, he'll go along. Don't you see?
Yeah, sure, I see. But what happens
to us? Message from
Captain Midnight. As long as the gang's out there on the desert, we don't dare budge.
Well, then we'll just wait until they've marched back into the city. After that, we'll slip out and find the secret door for ourselves. And then we'll join Captain Midnight inside the city.
I guess it sounds okay, Chuck. Only they don't find us here first.
Well, don't worry, Joyce. Captain Midnight said he'd stop them from doing that, and he usually does what he says. Just sit tight and keep your fingers crossed. We're not licked yet.
1952 Columbia NAB 10-inch 70 RPM recording of the Eisenhower Marching Song. Columbia LP of Bach's St. Matthew Passion from a 1939 tape. Heart Fun, 16-inch, 33 1/3 RPM. Johnny Mathis spot.
Was doing very well. The world was fine, as far as I could tell.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mathis, and I hope all of your hearts are doing very well too, just like the one in my song. But unfortunately, there are too many people, some 10 million of them, for whom the opposite is true, victims of heart disease. And this number one public health enemy doesn't discriminate. 500,000 children are helpless sacrifices to that grim fact. A wasteful, tragic, unnecessary loss of human life that must be overcome. And your best way to help is through your heart fund, because your contributions to the heart fund are being invested in a tremendous research effort which, with your continued support, will help turn the tables on heart disease.
Finally, in 1969, WMUK, foot, cone, and bell link, 12-inch, 13 1/3 RPM microphone.
Proudly presents the world's fastest jetliner, the new TWA Boeing 707. The first and only jet nonstop to Los Angeles, the TWA Boeing 707. The airplane of tomorrow, superior to all others. It is the fastest jet airliner in the world and promises you wonders of flight you have never experienced before.
The new TWA Boeing 707.
Now I'll get it right. 1969 WMUK Stereo FM 7.5 IPS broadcast tape of Walton's Belshazzar's Feast.
The Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra performing this evening in the Western Michigan University Auditorium. With the performance of the Beethoven Symphony, we come to the intermission point in our concert this evening, the sixth concert of the 1968-69 season by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra's 47th season. You are listening to this broadcast in stereo over WMUK, the broadcasting service of Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. The concluding work on the program this evening will be a performance of Belshazzar's Feast by William Walton. And we'll bring to the stage our guest artists for this evening, Daniel Christian, baritone, and the Western Michigan University Grand Chorus. During the few years of practice which served to establish him as undoubtedly the most stimulating music critic who ever wrote, one of the most dependable arousers of the ire of George Bernard Shaw was the parlous state of the English biblical oratorium, which since the days of Mendelssohn and Elijah had degenerated into a solemn exercise and stupefying boredom. It was, in fact, nearly 100 years after the death of Mendelssohn William Walton made the scene in 1931 with Belshazzar's Feast and single-handedly reversed the long decline. We are awaiting now the appearance, once again, of PIA 2, conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and our guest soloist, the choir, who is now on stage, the University Grand Chorus. And here now are Dr. Daniel Christian and PIA 2 as they come on stage for the performance of Belshazzar's Feast by William Walton. Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, performing this evening in the Western Michigan University Auditorium.
Thank you very much.
Oh, this is good.
Thank you all for attendance. Thank you, Jim and George, for two great presentations. I'm sorry, we won't be able to field questions for Jim right now. We're cutting into technical session time, but I encourage you to chat outside in the lobby afterwards. And before we move on to the technical committee sessions, Bill Klinger has a couple of announcements to make. Thank you again.
Couple of quick things. Our friends in SAM have discovered that they have a lot more people for their business meeting than they anticipated, so we're going to change rooms. We would have had our annual meeting in this room right after the audio engineers roundtable. Instead, it'll be up one flight on the fourth floor in the severance room. Just go up the stairway and look for the severance room at the end of a long hallway. At the end of the audio engineer session, you can follow me up there. The other thing is that the reception, which might look in your program like it will be in the Ambassador Ballroom, will actually be out here in this assembly area, not near the registration desk. The brass band will play in this room during that reception, and after the reception, everybody can move down to the Ambassador Ballroom for the banquet if you've got a ticket. But the reception is open to everybody, ticket or not. And if you bid on silent auction items, you can pick up any winnings between 6 and 9 p.m. tonight and 8 to 10 a.m. Sunday. That's it.
Okay.